Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
No, I'm going to say that again. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah. Well, I want you to welcome Pastor John Mitchell. Okay, did I cut it off? All right, got it. Amen. Well, good morning again, and just want to thank Pastor Charlie and Ed and Susan, the worship team this morning. Did an awesome job, amen. Amen. Did a great job, I tell you. You know, sometimes, you know, we can get stuck in a pattern. You know, and when God, you know, but how many know God's not stuck in a pattern? Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. But, you know, I was sharing with Charlie, there's a song that I've been hearing on the radio, and it's just kind of spoke to my life. And then in one part of the song, it says, I don't want to get stuck in a pattern, you know. And it's easy to do that in this world we live in. You know, you can get stuck in a pattern. But how many know that Jesus has got a way, and he's got a Holy Spirit that's working on us?
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to share with you this morning, if you will go to Philippians, the first chapter, I want to talk to you this morning about a good work. A good work. Okay? Now, when I talk about what we're going to share this morning, I'm not talking about work as in performance, work as in labor. But the work that I want to talk to you this morning about is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen? And I mean to know the Holy Spirit is doing a good work.
Yes.
And in Philippians, the first chapter, let me get there. The first chapter starts out, it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just talk to you a little bit. First of all, just give you a little background of what Paul is at. Do you realize Paul is in prison? And what happened to Paul was in Philippi. And if you go to Acts, I think it's Acts 16, you can read about what happened here, because Paul was down in Philippi and he was preaching the gospel. And signs and wonders was being worked by Paul, and he cast the devil out of this young lady, and they got mad at Paul and got upset with Paul and threw him in prison. They beat him and, you know, beat him and threw him in prison with irons and beat him, threw him in prison, you know. And here this man is talking about the remembrance, the joy. Now, you got to understand something about what's going on here. Paul is bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, it said that Paul was what? A bondservant. In other words, a bondservant was that when a bondservant was in slavery, what happens was that when they were free, they could choose to stay with the master. And they would become a bond slave with him forever. They give all their rights to the master or the slave tax. They forfeit all their rights to say, I'm your slave forever. So what Paul is saying here is that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. So even though they beat him with irons and all these things, Paul knew that he was dedicated and he was faithful to the call that God had called him. To the place to where he writes back in a letter to the Philippian church and he begins to encourage them. He said, but I am confident of this very thing. He which have begun a good work in you will perfect that work or complete that work. Now, many a times when we look at the word perfect, many a times we think that it means that everything is okay, everything is in place, everything is complete here, everything is, in other words, I don't mess up, I don't do anything wrong. But what this word really means is maturity. Paul is talking about the maturity, that God is going to mature them, that the work that the Holy Spirit is doing is an ongoing work. And Paul is saying here, what he said was that look at verse 1, but he also goes on to say, he said, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now notice what he said here. A saint is those that are separated for who? Christ. Living for Christ. Notice he didn't call them converts. He didn't call them church members. He called them saints. So the work had already begun, and what Paul is saying is that the work is continuing. The Holy Spirit is at work in you to continually transforming you and developing you into the likeness of Christ. The Word of God is good news. The gospel is good news. So many times it's been presented as hell, fire, and brimstones. But hell is real, heaven is real. But God's aim is to perfect us. It's not to condemn us. It's not to put guilt trips on us to tell us when we, if you miss it, you know, well, you're doomed from hell. No, the Holy Spirit is at work here. And this is what I want to share with you this morning, because what Paul is saying is that the work that God has begun in you, in other words, Paul is praying and he's letting them know it is a good work. Now I want to read something else to you here. It says, grace and peace from God our Father. Now notice he said grace and peace. Sometimes we just read over this, but do you not know the grace is the saving power of God. And you can't have peace without the saving grace of God. That's why he's saying grace and peace. In other words, Paul is not talking, he's not condemning them, he's not coming against them. Really, Paul is encouraging them to let them know that the work that God is doing in you is a good work. But many a times, if we're not careful, when we do mess up or we do make a mistake, we feel like, well, you know, maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I just didn't get it right. Maybe I need to go back to the altar. How many of you went to church and every Sunday you had to go to the altar to get saved? How many of you felt sometimes, well, did I really get saved? You know, they hoodwinked, they fooled me when I got saved. Let me tell you, you know, I can talk about myself. But, you know, they told me, they said, come to Jesus and everything is going to be all right. That's the biggest lie ever. Well, how many know lie is in the Bible, right? Okay, so I can use it, right? Okay. But that's the biggest lie we could ever be told. Another lie was this, you know, oh, your soul is saved now. Man, stuff got to going wrong with me, and I got to, you know, crying and I cry, fasting and praying, God, please save me. You know, I mean, I repented and I did what the Word told me to do, but I just thought, well, surely I got to do something to help God out here. How many know the Holy Ghost is a man by himself? Yeah. Amen. All he need is our cooperation. Yeah. All he need is our yieldness. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But getting back to that, you know, they told me everything is going to be all right. Your soul is saved now. You know, but when I began to read the Word of God, I realized my soul really wasn't saved. My spirit had been quickened and made alive back unto God. But the soul was in a process of being saved. And that's why the word of God teaches us in James that it is the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. See, and that's why Paul said that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How many know that the Holy Spirit has to have us to cooperate with him to do the good work? See, we can't just say, well, I'm saved and everything is just going to fall in place. It won't happen. Do you not know that you can be saved and be living beneath your privileges? You can be living a defeated life, got the power of God on the inside of you, but because you refuse to cooperate with God and the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, you're in a situation that you are in defeat, you're in doubt, you're in unbelief, you're in fear, you're in shame, you're in all this stuff that's going on that the world is throwing on you. Why? Because you refuse to renew your mind and let God begin to change us. See, the Holy Spirit is not here to just tickle me to give me a goosebump every now and then, but he want to transform me. He want to work on me. You know why? Because he's the only one that can do it. I can't do it within myself. I've tried many a times in my life to change myself, but I always come up on what? The losing end. I ain't the only one. And some of us still trying to say, you know, I got to do something. You know, I told a brother this week, I said, you know something? He was talking to me. And he said, you know, he said, we've been preached a lot of lies, you know. And I said, for real? He said, yeah. He said, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that. And I said, well, what lie was told? Well, you know, we got to do something. And I said, well, you still believe in the lie. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, we only have to believe. It's not based on my performance. See, and I'm going to share some things with you, but we got to get to the place, you know, this thing is so simple to where we almost think this is too easy to be good, to be right. You know why? Because we've been conditioned to think that we got to give God some help when God sent the help to us. He said the helper will come. And he will do what? He will reprove the world of sin. He'll remind you of that you are the right. You know, he'll do these things. But what we have to understand, do you not realize that the thing that we're really looking for is in God? We will never be satisfied. I don't care how much of this world you consume. You will never be satisfied with the things of this world. It would always leave you hungering for more, but with no fulfillment. So it's the Holy Spirit getting back to God who created us from the foundation of the world. That's when we'll begin to find fulfillment. You know why? The Spirit is longing to get back to the God that created him. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring us back to the Father. See, he said, for no man can come to the Father except what? Through him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it is the truth that is what? Making us free. See, and that truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. But he's in form now of who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us to do what? To change us. Okay? Now, the Bible says that Paul says in verse 6, he said, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you, say, begun a good work. Say, God is at work in me by his Holy Spirit. See, this is why we can't write each other off. Because you never know when that Holy Spirit began to quicken something and we begin to listen, that will bring us out of a situation. See, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against drugs. I'm not against medication. I'm not against all these things. Somebody caught that. I'm sorry. Scratch that, Charles. Scratch it. But do you not know that the Holy Spirit, what he can do in 1 minute setting is greater than anything a physician, and I'm not against physician. I go to the doctor. When I hurt, I go. When I'm sick, I go. Amen? If God don't heal me, guess what? I go to the doctor, okay? So I'm not condemning doctors. But what I want to share with you is that you can't just rely upon natural resources. So many times, if we can't see it, if we can't feel it, well, it can't be God. But how many know God is doing a work that sometimes you don't feel it? You don't feel it. Sometimes you are numb to, some of the times you are numb to the things of God, and the Holy Spirit has to come along and quicken. You know, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. Many a times we are tired of things because we're not spending, and I'm not trying to make an excuse, we're not spending proper time with God. See, you can tell many a times where people are at when you begin to worship. Not that I'm spying on you, but when you get a slow pace, you know, it's almost like you can see them, wait, when they're going to speed this up? You know, when they're going to gear it up? You know, come on now. Yeah, come on now. You know, come on. Yeah, let's go. Come on. You know. And then when it never happened, you know, well, it was all right today. See, you got to understand something. It's not about you. It's about entering into his presence. See, his presence, I love the praise God. I love the goosebumps. But I've learned through the years, sometimes it's the still small voice that I need to hear. Just whisper, John, I love you. John, I'm with you. You with me, Lord? Yes. You're the apple of my eye. Nothing escapes me about you, John. The stillness of God. And many a times, if it's not a fast pace, it's almost like, well, you know, I don't know. God didn't really move. See, it's not about the fast pace. It's about his presence. You know, just like the songs this morning. Amen. I mean, you know, you can just soak and bathe in the presence of God. Give God time to speak to us. We're so in a hurry about things. Hurry up, let's get this thing going. Let's get it hyped up here. Let's go. But see, sometimes God just wants you to be still. Let me talk to you. Let me minister to you. I know, I'm going to get on my notes here, okay? But the Word of God says that we are not in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. We are not saved by good works, for by grace you have been saved. Say, I'm saved by grace. Through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that one should boast. Now, I know when we talk about works, the first thing our mind run to is James. Faith without works is dead. Now, how are you going to come across? How are you going to fix that? See, the faith that James is talking about is your obedience to feeding a brother or sister that's destitute. You say you love God. How can you say you love God if you can't love the brother or sister that you see? So James is saying, if you have faith and you operate in it, how many know faith worketh by love? Amen? So you saying you have faith, but you don't have works. Faith without works is dead. In other words, faith without obedience is dead. See, it's a verb tense word that when I say I believe, I act like I believe it. I act on it. I obey it. I do it. See, I'm not just coming to church on Sunday, hey, hallelujah, glory to God, then I'm going to go out here on Monday, and then I'm going to do my own thing. How many know? Uh-uh. Don't work that way. You can do that, but there is a consequence. I've learned that the world will suck you dry. That's why Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. I was sharing this, you know, I hope this ain't too graphic for you. How many believe it? It's not too graphic, okay? How many know we got to eat to live, okay? How many know insects eat too to live? Okay, all right. So what Paul is saying is, don't get so entangled with this world to where it begins to squeeze the life of God out of you. You say, what are you talking about here? How many ever seen a spider web and you see insects in that web, but they're not moving any longer? You know what happened? The spider took the life from the inside. But the shell was still there, but there's no life in it. And that's what the world want to do. It want to leave us empty. It don't mind us coming to church, amen, long as there's no life. Long as there's no life flowing out of us. See, he could care less long as you that shell coming in, because we don't learn how to hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. We know how to go through that, but on the inside, oh, let me settle down. But on the inside, is there life flowing out of you? See, that's what the enemy don't want. See, it's not a problem with sin with God. It's not that problem. But see, the problem is that we don't understand that when we say, well, you know, I can just do what I want to. I'm saved by grace, you know, and I can just do what. No, honey, it ain't like that. See, you've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You're like Paul. We got to become bond servants of Christ to where we forfeit everything and says, God, it's for you I live and it's for you I die. It is for you that I wake up in the morning. It is for you that I go out here and live a life, amen, that's pleasing to you. Amen. It's not about how much I can get away with. See, we're in that time now. We're in a place now to where a lot of things is being said that, oh, you know, you saved by grace. How many know grace does not give me a permission to sin? Grace empowers me to not to. It gives me a desire. I get excited when I get to thinking about it. You know why? Because what happened, I won't rev you up. I want to get this in you right here. Let's pass. You got to get it in you so it can come up out of you. Amen. See, the thing that I love about this is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to reveal what God has done for us. See, without the Holy Spirit interpreting this, how many know it's just a dead letter? But the Bible said, Paul said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, when the Spirit breathes on the Word of God, that's something that's called a rhema, what's called that is God breathed, a life given, amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit want to do. He want to give us this abundant life, amen? The Zoe, the life of God that empower us, amen, to where we don't have to bow to sin. Now, does that mean that we already perfected? No. It just means that I'm not a slave to it any longer. It don't have the influence it used to have on me. See, but the more I stay, see, when I talk about the world, I'm not talking about just things. I'm talking about the order, the arrangements, the culture of this world. That will tell you it's all right, you know, to have a good time. How many know we the ones that should be having good times? Amen? We're the ones that should be having a good time. Why? Because we're saved by this grace. Now, let me just give you a few definitions of this grace that he's talking about. This grace means joy, favor, acceptance. Now, I like this one, and I think you will too. A favor done without expectations of return. Absolutely freeless of a loving kindness of God to man, finding its only motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver. Unearned, unmerited favor. God gave it to me. Why? And I don't, he's not looking for me to try to pay. How many know I can't pay him back? No, we can't pay God for the blood that he shed it, his son shed it. The only thing we can do is accept it and enjoy it. Why? Because it sets you free. The blood cleanses from sin. And we can enjoy, amen, enjoy his presence. I'm not saying every day is going to be good. I'm not saying that everything is going to be easy. But how many know it's the matter, it depends on how you look at the day. It's where your perception is at. Do you not know that there are several things that we have in common? But there's one thing that we have in common that God has given to all of us. Y'all waiting for me to say it, right? Time. Time. How many in here don't have every day you get up that you walk this earth, God has given you time. But you know what it is? What's wrong with it? It depends on how you use it. I know the scripture says our times are in his hands. Do you not know God has allotted us time? And do you not know it takes time for the Holy Spirit to work in you? It's a process. I wish he would give me one good dose and let that be it, Pastor Terry. I mean, man, if I could figure that out, I'd have people running all over the country. Where is he at? Tell me how you get. It's not a formula. You have to choose to spend time with him. Now, see, let me share something with you here. I'm going to get back to that. But what we have to understand is this. How many ever seen a person, you say, man, how did they get all that money? Man, how did you do that? Do you not know that they couldn't lay in the bed all day? Oh, Lordy. They could. On Game Boy and PlayStation 24/7. They chose to go after their dreams and their visions. You said, well, yeah, ain't that working? No, they're following the desire, but they're paying the price. And it's called faithfulness. See, God ain't asking us to do aerobics and works. He's just saying, be faithful. Begin to study the word of God. Begin to pray. Begin to seek my faith. See, God has told us what to do in the word, but many of the times we say, well, yeah, it'll happen one day. No, if you keep delaying it, it will never happen. What I'm doing today will affect tomorrow. Well, I thought God was going to do it. Well, he's going to do it, but he got to have some cooperation. And what the enemy, the lie the enemy want to tell us is this: he's such a good God, don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep waiting. It's going to happen one day. I mean, you know, that's the way the enemy talk to you. He'll whisper in your ear and tell you, well, you don't have to do it now. See, we got to understand, church, that we're in a battle. See, and the battle that we're in, we're fighting from a place of victory. We're not trying to win the battle. What we need to do is occupy and be faithful to what God has placed in our hands. We got to grow and develop in the things of God. And how you do that, you got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul is saying it's not a works, because if it was a works, guess what? We could boast. But we have people in the church, and I'm not talking about a certain person, but in every congregation, many a times we blame everything. Well, you know, the pastor, if this or that. But how many know this is a personal relationship? Yes, we have shepherds that teach us the word of God. But once they teach us the word of God, do we go and search it out, or do we go to help? Well, that's a good message today. I'm through. Let me go lay it down to next Sunday. No, you got a responsibility now that you got to do what? You are accountable to the word that you are being taught. In other words, what are you going to do with the truth? It will set you free. But you know what Paul said? He said, it's not a works lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. The gift of God is your salvation. And that salvation, the word there is sozo. It means to save. It means deliverance. It means health. It means safety, wholeness. See, what you got to understand, God has rescued us from the prison of sin, of guilt and shame. But see, if we don't begin to grow into the things of God, we will always be stuck in that pattern of what we was before we got saved. Why? Because there's no transformation. There's no transformation. You say, well, how can I get changed? Let's talk about this. First of all, it's God that's doing the change. The good work I shared with you earlier is the Holy Spirit working in us. And notice what the word says here, that grace is what? It's his kindness, it's his grace, it's his desire, it's the benefit, it's God's grace, it's his favor. Amen. I don't earn this. God did this for me. But I have to be what? The recipients. I have to receive it and believe it and walk in it and live in it. See? Okay. And then Paul goes on to say, let's look at Philippians. Philippians 2, if you would. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Let's start there. It'd be a good place. Listen to what Paul is saying. He says, therefore, of my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now, notice what he's saying here. They were already saints, but Paul is going on to say, now look here. Therefore, of my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now, what is he talking about here, obeyed? The word that he had taught them. Notice what he says here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, and people say, see there, I told you. You got to work for it. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, let what the Holy Spirit has worked in you, let it come out of you. See, do you not know that you and I cannot change anything about us apart from the power of the Holy Spirit? That's why he's given to the church, so that he can begin to perfect those things that's in us. Do you not know even situations that we're in sometime, God allows situations to come so that we can begin to be transformed in those situations? so that that situation no longer, Lord, is over me. That situation don't always stop me. Why? Because God is taking that situation and he's causing me to be transformed in that situation. That I begin to see it the way Jesus would see it. I begin to act the way Jesus would act. That's what Christ's likeness is all about, amen? But many a times what we want to do, we want the power and the glory to come on us so that we can do all these mighty works and all these mighty deeds. But let me tell you something. God is too wise to release that to us until we are able to handle it. He's too wise. See, God don't waste. See, he's not about my, see, I don't want to impress you. Amen. God ain't about impressing us. God is about changing us. God is about bringing us to the place to where we have intimate relationship with him and we know who he is and we know who we are in him. That's what God want to do so that when we begin to go through things, as Pastor Terry was teaching a couple of Sundays ago, as we begin to go through zigzag and we begin to go through all these things, we know how to encourage ourselves. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has built something on the inside of me to where that is greater than the thing that's on the outside. Say it's a good work. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my absence only, but now much more in my, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, with reverence unto God. I'm reverencing God when I begin to walk this thing out, when I begin to live it out. As the Holy Spirit has worked in me. See, do you not know that if the Holy Spirit don't work something in you, you become religious flesh? You walk, oh, I'm blessed, and just as dead on the inside. Can't get along with nobody. You know how religious flesh act? It looked like it. It talked like it. But oh, let pressure come. Want to beat everybody and the dog. Kick the cat out too. But when God has built something on the inside you by the Holy Spirit, that rhema of God, that revelation of God. Do you not know Jesus said the storms would come. The winds would blow. It wouldn't blow the house down. Why? Because it was founded upon the rock. But it was those that does, that do the word of God. The ones that are living out of what the Spirit is building in us. See, what God is doing to us, amen, he's building, he's changing us so that we could do what? Begin to reflect his image in this earth. See. Do you not know the world is tired of people that always think they got it going on, but they don't have the goods? Paul said it this way, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, it's just like you going through the motions and you saying all these things, you know, but there's no power behind it. There's no life coming out of it. See, and I refuse to try to play a game to try to fool somebody to make them think I got it going on. How many know God is too real to do that? Amen. Amen. If I can't have the genuine thing, I just need to sit down and shut up. Oh, sorry about that. I was talking about myself now, not you. Do you hear me? Paul is saying, work out what the Holy Spirit has worked in, let it come up out of you. See, because if the Holy Spirit don't work it in, it's you trying to perform. You're putting on a mask to look like I am a Christian. I'm doing all what the Christian is supposed to be doing, but there's no power. There's no life. And that's what the world is looking for, those that are filled with the life of God. I mean, you know, this young generation, they can spot a fake on your way coming. You know why? Because they're looking for the genuine, the authentic, the realness. They ain't looking for somebody just, you know, speaking in tongues and going through all these spiritual aerobics that we've learned through the years. Amen. How many know that don't fly with this generation? It don't. I'm sorry to tell you, you know. But they're looking for people with life. Amen. I got to move. You got my scripture up there. Okay. Got to look at mine. I get right here. Okay. He says, therefore, beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, what God has worked in. For it is God who works in you. See, it is God who's at work in you both to do, to will, and to do of his good pleasure. See, now listen to this. There's a work that the Holy Spirit is doing, okay? It is a continual work. It includes a work of sanctification. Now, I know that's a word that you don't hear a lot in this day and time, and it's not a bad word. How many know sanctification means to be set apart? One translation says to be set apart for the master's use. Now, I know that this is not a custom word, amen, because you know why? A lot of times people don't understand it. They think, well, I got to wear a certain style of clothes. It's not about your clothes. It's about your heart. See, if the heart get right, guess what? The clothes will get right. Amen? See, you got to be taught some things, but how many know what the Spirit of God is trying to get us to see this morning? That the Spirit of God is at work, and one of the works that he's doing is a sanctification. Listen, sanctification in John 17, 16. Let's look at it right quick. I got a little, let me see. Let's go there right quick. John 17 and verse, I'm going to begin reading at verse 15. It says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That they are in the world just as I am. They are not of the world. Excuse me. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your what? Truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Now, what is truth? This. See, the sanctifying process is when I learn truth. Say, God forbid, but say I'm a liar, okay? Say I'm a liar. I didn't tell. Okay, you caught that real quick. I know where y'all at. Y'all trying to find something on the preacher. Nah, you fine. But say, John is a liar, right? Okay. Now, watch this. Pastor Terry, he preach about, you know, liars, how that we don't need to be liars. We need to be truth bearers, okay? So now when I take that truth and replace the lie, I'm being sanctified. I'm being set apart from that lie. See, and that's what the Holy Spirit want to do. He want to set us apart from what? Lust, all these things that we battle with in the flesh. He want to do a sanctifying work on us so that we would be vessels of honor unto God. See, and I can name off a bunch of other stuff, but I'm just saying the one part of the work is just not trying to get us to a place, amen, to just feel good all the time. I mean, he want to get us to a place to where he sanctifies us in a place to where we are separated from what? The things of sin and guilt and shame. See, it might not even be a sin that he want to separate you from. It might be the lie that you've been believing all your time here on this earth, and he's trying to sanctify you from that lie. I'm so unworthy. How many know the Holy Spirit want to work on that and let you know you are worthy? Okay. Y'all did good. You caught it. Okay. Sanctification. Notice what Jesus is saying here. Sanctify them through what? Thy truth. See, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Okay. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. not by what I wear, not by the way I act. Amen? Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, listen to this. Let me share this with you. Sanctification, it means to withdraw from fellowship with the world and from selfishness. By first gaining fellowship with God and toward God, it also means to be distinguished from. Remember when Moses was going to go up and he told God, he said, now, if you don't go up with us, we ain't going. He said, now, how are they going to distinguish between us and them if your presence don't go with us? See, what God is wanting to do, he's wanting to glorify himself in us. Because you know what? He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. See, he ain't talking about building John up. This vessel is meant for God to be glorified through me. When you see all the weakness and you say, man, how in the world did you get to that place? God. The reflection of him. See, but many of the times we think, well, it's about me. I want to preach this way. I want to teach this way. I mean, no, it's not about me impressing you. Amen. It's about God in me, the hope of glory. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's sanctifying me and he's separating me. That's why sometimes, you know, I don't understand Christians, why we're so hard on each other. Because sometimes, you know, we don't always get it right. But the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to correct me. Do you know I can't treat you any kind of way and get away with it? Oh, no. I can't do anything I want to do and get away with it. God ain't beat me over the head, but he convicts me. He corrects me. He said, John, come on, John. You know better than that. Now you're going to have to go get that right. But God, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know how they was treating me. That's on them. You go get it right. Do you not know God values relationships so much to where God said, if you get to the altar and you remember you have alt, go be reconciled to your brother. Otherwise, the gift is not important as the relationship. Because he's about relationship. He's about us fellowshipping. Amen? Ah, okay. So did you get that?
Yes.
All right. So what he's saying, we need to work out or carry out the work that God has, that error that God has completed. See, God perfects errors in our lives, but how many know that his aim is to do what? Correct all of it. And it takes time. It's a process. Don't get upset. Amen. Just stay in it. Because God is at work. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I want to share something with you. Ooh, got to share this with you, and then I've got to get ready to close here. This is an article I read. This is not me, okay? But this is an article I read. I want to share this with you. Okay, there seems to be friction in our home. Now, not my home, okay? Okay, this is just something I read. This is not from me, okay? This is from a commentary, okay? It said this. It says, there seems to be friction in our home. A concerned wife said to a marriage counselor, I really don't know what the trouble is or the problem. Friction is caused by one or two things, said the counselor. And to illustrate, he picked up two blocks of wood from his desk. If one block is moving and one is standing still, there's friction. Or if both are moving but in the opposite direction, there's friction. Now, which is it? I have to admit that I have been going backwards in my Christian life. And Joe has eagerly been growing. Wife admit, but I need to get back to fellowshipping with the Lord. What about you? See, the friction is, many a times, it's not the devil. It's God irritating us to get us to fellowship. See, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what your situation is. But I want to encourage you to get back to fellowshipping with the Lord. See, many a times, we have removed our place. We have removed ourselves from the place of relationship. And we've isolated ourselves to the place to where we feel, well, you know, don't nobody care no way. How many know that's the lie of the devil? Don't nobody appreciate me no way. I don't fit in no way. How many know all those are lies of the enemy? See, but the purpose, when we fellowship with God and we have our relationship with God, I'm not saying this answers everything. Because how many know, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have problems. We're going to have disappointments. But it's how you handle it. How are you going to handle it? When you are disappointed, how are you going to, are you going to give up and quit? No. Don't give that person that much power over your life. Don't give a human being that much power over your life to where they didn't act like you think they should have acted, but you're going to quit because of them. Do you know you've given them the power that you need to be yielding to the Holy Spirit? Listen to me. Don't give that person that much power. You are free people. We are a free people. And we need to walk in our freedom. See, Paul always encouraged. He talked to the Galatian church. He said, look, you have been called to liberty, but don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh to go back in bondage. Amen? He's given us liberty that we could choose to do what we ought to be doing for God. We are free now to serve God. We are free to worship God. We can have that relationship, amen, that's genuine with God. We can have it. Somebody said, salvation is free, but it ain't cheap. The life that we've been called to is not a cheap life. Jesus said, you got to deny yourself. Many a times we're just selfish. It's me time all the time. Me time. What about God time? I don't say this to condemn you, but I want to challenge you to begin to look at your time and begin to, the Bible said, redeem the times, for the days are evil. In other words, make full opportunity of every time. Do you realize every time we come together like this is an opportunity that we can draw strength from each other? None of us should go to battle alone. We have a community right here, and it is an awesome community. You say, well, you're just saying that because you're the pastor. No, let me tell you something. When I had my hip surgery, I seen the demonstration of the love of God from the people of God in this church. I'm not saying that to flatter any of you, but that's what Christianity is all about, a community that will love each other and that will support each other regardless where they're at. Do you think I get along with everybody? No, but my intentions is to get along with everybody. I don't want nobody to say, hey, it was John that was acting that way. No, I can't help it the way you take me. I'm going to love you. I'm commanded to love you. I'm not commanded to judge you, but to love you. And if you don't want to accept my love, guess what? Jesus, the Father say, I sent you John, and you didn't want to receive his love. But that's all right. I'm going to send him back to you again. I love you too, brother, more than you love me. There you go. But that's what it's all about. See, he's at work in us. Do you not know we are not all on the same level? The Holy Spirit is at work on us where we're at. But his aim is to perfect, to complete that work that he begun. Amen? All right. Now, if you're here today and you say, man, I want that life. See, it starts, first of all, with you being born again. That's the starting point. And once you get started, God is going to continue. See, sometimes God, he'll chase you down. He'll put a hook in your mouth and you be running out, snatching you. You'll be wondering what happened, and his love just drawing you in. I'm sorry I had to do it that way, but I had to get you. See, the Father is pursuing us, but we're still trying to get away. And he's saying, you can't get away from this love. Honey, he'll love you so that you'll be crying at night wondering, what's wrong with me? He'll just love on you. You know why? Because he want to perfect that error in your life that you feel like you can't overcome. God said, I can take care of it. It ain't so bad. I died for that. My blood covers that. But we steady trying to get away. You know, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't accepted Christ, we want to pray with you today and introduce you to this loving Father. He just want to love on you. He want to bring you back because he created you. Yes. Amen? Yes. Is there anyone, anybody that don't know him and you say, I'd like to know this Jesus. I want this abundant life that you're talking about. Okay? No one. Okay. Is there a saint of God here? Now, this might sound strange to you, that you have failed. It's over. I've went as far as I can go with this. It's just over for me. Is there anybody here that feel that way this morning? It's just over for me. I've tried it long enough, and I'm tired now, so it's just over. Is there anybody here like that today? Anybody? Thank God for you. If it's not, give God a hand. Amen. That's a good sign. You know what that's a sign of? A healthy person. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you. Hang in there with the Holy Spirit because he's at work. Amen. Don't ever feel like it's over for you because it's not. As long as you got breath in your body, guess what? God still is at work. And look at your neighbor and say, he's perfecting those things that concerns you. Amen? Because sometimes we're concerned about things. We feel like, well, I don't want to worry them with this. How many know it's not a worry? But I tell you this. It's not a worry, it is a concern when you are told the truth, not just by me, but by anybody, and you don't take heed to what they're saying, but you keep, well, no, you got to take heed, you got to listen, and you got to do. If it's godly counsel, do it and watch what happens. Do it and watch what happened. The Holy Ghost will dynamite you. Amen? I love you. Father, we thank you this morning God, we thank you so much, Father, for your love. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's at work in us to perfect those areas, God, that we can't, we struggle with, Lord. God, there is not enough strength in me, God, to correct anything. But God, I know that your Holy Spirit is at work. And he's leading, guiding me into all truth. And God, he's changing me for your glory, that I will glorify you in this earth. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today, God, as we depart from this place, but never your presence. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor John.
God bless you.
Great. God love you. Everybody stand. This is how we're going to leave. You ready? How many of you remember Love Lifted Me? Just the chorus, Love Lifted Me. How many of you wave at me? Because I don't want to sing it by myself. Are you ready? Sing it out loud. You want to be loud? Be loud on this one. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.